would not have raised your voice as you did. Turn your Bibles real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let me just remind you and encourage you as you have encouraged me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When the people of God come together and they lift up their voice, it is unto God, and it is for a reason. It is to encourage each other. But here's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. It says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and will pray with the understanding also. And I will sing with the Spirit and will sing with the understanding also. So my prayer to you and for you is that as you lifted up your voice in song just now, that you did so with the understanding and with the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right, that was free. This is going to cost you. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5 and wait for me there. The title of my lesson this morning is, O Ye Self-Righteous. When we hear that term, or when we hear someone say that, or even if we have said that, it normally comes with a interesting type of connotation if we were to call someone self-righteous. Here's my question to you. Is it wrong to be self-righteous? What do you think? You can go ahead and talk real quick. Is it wrong to be self-righteous? Yes, no? Everybody thinking. I don't know. It depends on what righteousness you're talking about, right? Are we not called to be righteous? Are we not called to be self-righteous, right? Self-righteous comes with a egotistical type of connotation, right? When we hear that or when that's being said. But watch this. The Bible in Matthew chapter 5:48, Jesus tells us, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is, which is going to require some righteousness. It's going to require us to take a look at ourselves and look at the righteousness that should be within us. And that righteousness obviously is going to come through the knowledge of Christ Jesus. But I want to encourage you and remind you to be careful of how self-righteous we can become, or that a person can become. In Luke, let's take a look at the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 5, we're going to read verses 31 and 32. Here's what it says. Wait, I'm in 1 Corinthians. Luke chapter 5. If someone has that, if you would begin reading verse number 31 and 32. Brother Eddie, do you have that by chance?
And Jesus answered and said to them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick.
All right, so Jesus said, now remember, anytime I come before you and anytime anyone ought to be coming before you sharing God's word, you ought to be listening to what Jesus said. Because in John chapter 12:48, Jesus says to his people, it says, the words that I have spoken will judge thee in that last day. So it behooves us to take a look at what Jesus said. All right. And here in Luke chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus says, they that are whole, they need not a physician, but they that are sick. Okay. Verse number 32.
I have not come to call the righteous. But sinners to repentance.
All right, look at that. So Jesus says, I didn't come to call the righteous or those that abide by the law, but I have called those who are sinners. And he called those that are sinners for the purpose of repentance. So the question is are you too self-righteous for repentance? All right, think about that. Is there too much righteousness in you that you are beyond reproach, that you are above repentance? All right, not for you specifically, but just in general. You have to look at and analyze your life. Am I beyond repentance? Am I too self-righteous? All right, remember the rich young ruler. You all know the story very well. He says, I have kept thy laws from a youth up. Right? What do I lack? And Jesus found that one thing that he lacked. He had a selfish problem. He had some riches. He had a lot of possessions. And when the Lord God told him, go and sell all that you have and come follow me, that makes me, in an analytical way, wonder why he didn't go follow Jesus, but instead turned away, distraught that he would have to give away all that he possessed? Is it because he knew Jesus didn't have what he thought Jesus was to have? Is it because he got too attached to all the possessions that he had and wasn't ready to let it go? What about the disciple that went to Jesus and said, "Let me go back and bury my father"? And Jesus turned to him and said, "Let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow me." Did he have too much of an attachment to a dead body? Was the relationship too strong that he wasn't fully ready to give himself over to Christ? See, we have to consider the challenges that might stand in our way of righteousness, because we might have too much of an attachment. We might have too strong of a relationship. Remember, the Father, remember, Jesus said, "I came not to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. I came to do a little bit of separating. I came to let you know that anyone who loves father and mother more than me, that anyone who loves son and daughter more than me, anyone who loves essentially anything or anyone more than me, is not fit and will not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And so it is crucial for us to look at our self-righteousness and ensure that our self-righteousness is based upon the principles and foundation of God's word, because it is his word that makes us righteous. It is the blood of his son that makes us righteous. It is not by the doing of our own hands or the thoughts of our own hearts that make us righteous. Remember, the law is what makes us righteous. Not who's right, it's what's right. And when you find out who's doing what's right, then you know who's right. Does that make sense? I hope it does. If you don't, just let it jog around a little bit. You'll catch up. All right. So in this text, Jesus says, "I didn't come to heal those that are already whole. I came to heal those that are sick." All right. We don't often go to the doctor until we begin to feel sick, right? Until we begin to have some things going on with our body that doesn't feel normal. But when we feel normal, when we feel great, we're not in the doctor's office, right? The doctor will probably say, "Why are you here?" Right? "Why are you here? There's nothing wrong with you." "Well, doc, I just wanted to come and visit you and see how your day was going." The doctor probably will be blown away. "Oh my gosh, thank you so much for considering me and coming to visit me." But most often, we don't go see the doctor until we're sick, right? And so Jesus says, and to put it specifically, he says, "Listen, I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call the sinners unto righteousness." But that comes through repentance. And so here's what we have to look at. What we have to think about. Let's take a look at the honesty within ourselves. It is very crucial for us to be honest to ourselves, and that is the best policy, if you will, for ourselves, in order that we can be the best light before the people that we are striving to set examples to. What do you think Jesus did? Remember, Jesus set an example and he called upon those disciples and those apostles to follow him. They weren't without flaw. They weren't without sin. They weren't without transgression. They weren't without sin, if you will. They had sin. They had challenges. They had trials. But they had to remain faithful. And that's what we want to strive to do. So I'm going to go through these various scriptural texts so we can look at some examples of ensuring that we are acknowledging sometimes our very own unworthiness, if you will, in order to be honest with ourselves, in order that Jesus can put us where we need to be and continue to be the leading force, the leading source of strength in our life. So if you will, join me real quick and turn your Bibles actually over to Job chapter 40. I'll just tell you this example, but turn your Bibles to Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40. But one of the examples that I wanted to tell you about and share with you was the example of Jacob. If you remember, Jacob and Esau had an issue. All right? Esau had taken Jacob's blessing, taken his birthright, and he wanted to kill him. He wanted to kill his brother. And so the mother went to him and said, "Hey, your brother wants to kill you. I'm going to need you to go away for a while. I'm going to need you to leave this place until your brother settles down, until things calm down." All right? And years and years, and if you study your Bible, you'll find that over 22 years went by between the time that Jacob left, the time that Esau left, and the time that they came back together. Over 22 years before they had come back together. And when you get to Genesis chapter 32, and you look into the various texts, you see that when they were getting ready to come together, you see that the angel had come unto Jacob and said, hey, Esau is coming this way, and he's bringing his family, and he's bringing all of his herds, and he's bringing everyone to you. And it says, Jacob says, I am unworthy. I am so unworthy, Lord, of your mercies that you are giving me. But he still blessed them to rekindle the relationship with his brother and his family before they went their respective ways, if you will, and re-strengthened, if you will. So consider that. The very fact that Jacob, who served the God of heaven, considered himself to be unworthy and even the least of God's mercies, still retained God's favor. All right? Look at Job chapter 40. Brother Montgomery, are you there? If you will, start reading verse number 1. We'll go through verse number 4 of Job chapter 40.
Okay, when the Lord said to Job, will the faultfinder contend with the Almighty?
Uh-huh.
Let him who reproved God answer it.
All right, so in a different version, he says, moreover, the Lord said to Job, shall he who find fault with Almighty contend with him? He who disputes with God, let him answer it. And if you know anything about Job, at this point, this is the point where God has interjected with all of Job's issues. Remember, Job had lost his family. He lost all of his possessions, right? He told, the Lord God had told Satan at the beginning in chapters 1, 2, and 3, have you not considered my servant Job? He is upright. He is righteous. He eschews evil, right? And Satan says unto the Lord, he says, well, how can I? You have a hedge around me. And the Lord God says, well, I'll go ahead and take the hedge down. Do whatever you want to him, but don't touch his life. So what did Satan do to him? He killed his kids, right? Destroyed his kids. Destroyed his servants. Destroyed his cattle. Made his wife go crazy. All right? Remember, and Job said, and so thou speakest as a foolish woman. All right? But nevertheless, everything around Job began to crumble, began to fall apart because the sources of strength that sustained Job were taken away. Y'all remember that lesson from this morning? When the sources of strength were taken away, everything started crumbling. God never left Job, so his source of strength remained with him, so he remained upright. That's why Job never sinned against him. But then when you go into starting of chapter 4, you begin to see the conversations that Job was having with his three friends that came to him and sat with him for 7 days of silence. All the way between chapters 4, all the way through 39, tons of conversation. Why is this happening? What did you do? What did I do? What did I do to deserve this? All types of conversation. You get to about chapter 39 or 40, you see God begins to interject. And he begins to question Job. And he begins to tell him, I'm going to ask you some questions and you are going to answer them. You have been complaining against me. You're going to answer them. So now we get here to chapter 40, and verse 1 through 4. And so God says to him, are you going to contend with me? Answer this. And in verse number 3, Job answered and said unto the Lord, look at verse 4. He says, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cover my mouth and I'm going to be quiet. And sometimes we, O ye self-righteous, need to cover our mouths and let the Lord speak. You guys remember in Matthew chapter 17 when they were on the mountain of transfiguration? And they said, oh, it is good for us to be here. Let us build 3 tabernacles. Right? Let's build one for him, one for him, one for him. And it says, God interceded. And says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Be quiet. Hear ye him. See, that was Pharaoh's problem that we talked about in class. He didn't hear the Lord as the Lord went through Moses and Aaron to deliver his message. And sometimes we, oh ye self-righteous, may sometimes fail to hear the Lord. And so we continue our way instead of the way of repentance. Remember, the Lord said, I didn't come for the righteous. I came to call the sinners unto repentance. That's what's going to make them righteous. Then they'll be over here. So consider that. Job says, I'm vile. Vile means to be worthless. Alright? It means to be impure or even to be foolish. So Job acknowledged and was honest with himself to say, you know what? I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to cover my mouth and I'm going to be quiet. I had already turned your Bibles over to Luke chapter 5. I had already brought this up. We don't even need to read it, but Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, the story of Jonah. It's the very fact that when Jonah had fled from the Lord because the Lord wanted Jonah to go down to Nineveh and to tell them and to speak their sins unto them in order that they can repent, in order that they can change. And Jonah said, I think, hypothetically, I don't think they're good enough. They're too sinful. They're not going to change. They'll never change. Right? So he fled and went the other way. And we know that he ended up in the belly of a whale. But prior to him ending up in the belly of the whale, he ended up in the ship. And when he was in the ship began to be tossed to and fro because of the winds. And the people of the ship didn't know what was going on. And so self-righteous Jonah didn't recognize how his unrighteousness was affecting someone else that had nothing to do with his situation at all. He got onto the boat. He began to be tossed to and from. They said, why has this come about unto us? Why is this happening to us? They cast lots. The lots fell on Jonah. Jonah says, yes, it is me. I fear God, and I didn't do what he said. So then they actually, we should take a look at it, but you see the human element. They didn't just automatically toss him over. They actually tried to wait the storm out. They actually tried to hold off. But then after it continued, then they asked, what shall we do that this shall cease, that this shall stop? Jonah was honest and said, you need to toss me over. This won't stop until you toss me over. I just wonder how they felt. I just wonder, what is this man thinking? Toss him over? What? He's going to die. Surely we don't need to toss him over. But we know the story. They went on ahead and tossed him over. Therefore, he ended up in the belly of the whale. But the point of bringing that is to let you know that Jonah acknowledged that he ran from the God. That he ran from God and that it affected others. Now watch this. Is that because he was too self-righteous? Or is it because he might have been striving to get and become righteous? And so sometimes it takes us acknowledging the error of our ways to put us on the path of righteousness. So like we talked about earlier, sometimes when we think everything is all good, everything is just going right, nothing is going wrong, I must be on the pathway of righteousness. Sometimes it takes something going wrong to have us understand the battle that we're in. Because we are resisting evil. We are eschewing evil. And we have to repent and change our ways if we find ourselves going that way. Luke chapter 5. You guys should already be there. Give me just 1 second to join you there. In Luke chapter 5, starting at verse number 1, it says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Look at Simon's reply. Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. We have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and the net broke. They beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and it filled both the ships, that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down. Look at Peter's response. Peter wasn't concerned with this fish anymore. Peter wasn't even concerned with the possibility of these ships sinking anymore. In fact, Peter wasn't even concerned with his life. Peter was concerned with his current condition in the presence of Jesus. When you are in the presence of Jesus, when you go before the Lord God, whether it be in worship or any day you go before him, do you consider your condition and your current condition, where you are and where you need to be? Look at Peter's response in verse number 8 there. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Please depart from me, for I am a sinful man." I am a sinful man. And sometimes the path of righteousness means we need to change and repent and look at the error of our way. Or have we become too self-righteous? So how do we get righteous? How do we get to that point? All right? Look at that. Let's go to flip over a few pages. Go to Luke chapter 18. So what I'm showing you again is examples of those of a few people who acknowledge their respective unworthiness at their respective time, of a sinful nature. They were being honest with themselves, and that is what put them in the way of righteousness. That is what kept them in the way of righteousness. In Luke chapter 18, starting at verse number 9, it says, "And he spake this parable unto a certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Let me say that again. Look at who Jesus is talking to. It says he said this to those that were self-righteous. They trusted in themselves. They said, "My way is good enough. I got this. I don't need help. Mr. Mrs. Know-it-alls." Right? This is who Jesus is talking to. He said unto them, the certain that trusted in themselves, they knew that they were righteous. Right? There's nothing wrong with someone showing you the error in the way. In fact, hold your finger there. Hold your finger right there. Flip your Bibles over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And so, you know, the Bible in the book of Psalms and in the book of Proverbs constantly talks about, you know, the edifying, the encouraging, the rebuking, the reproving, the correcting that we get encouragement to do in the book of Timothy. But look at Galatians chapter 6. All right? Look at verses number 1 and number 2. All right? I'm trying to wait for you to get there. It'll be a New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Galatians chapter 6. Verse number 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." Not take away his strength so he can fall. It says, "Restore in a manner of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Right? Then he says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now you can go back to Luke chapter 18. So if you're too self-righteous, if we become too self-righteous, if we become, I got this, the Bible teaches us it's not in man to lean upon our own understanding. We need God. We need his word. We need his leadership. All right? So he said this to those that despise others. Look at verse number 10 of Luke chapter 18. He says, "Two men went up to pray." Again, you guys are unfamiliar with this. If you are, just take a look at this and look at the principle of it. It says, "Two men went up to the temple and prayed. One was a Pharisee. The other one was a publican." What is a Pharisee? A Pharisee is one of us to be keeping and exercising and enforcing the law. All right? "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. They're extortioners. They're unjust. They commit adultery. Hey, even this publican over here, thank you for not letting me be like this publican over here,' is what the Pharisee says. He says, 'I fast twice a week. I give tithes in all I possess.'" This automatically makes me think about Matthew chapter 7:21, where Jesus says, "Many shall come to me and say, 'Lord, Lord, 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 we've done many wonderful things in thy name. We have cast out demons. We've done many wonderful works," right? "We've done all of this in your name." And Jesus says, "I will tell them, depart from me. You work iniquity. I never knew you," right? So that's what the Pharisee says. Look at verse number 12. He says, "I fast twice In the wheat, I give tithes to all that I possess. Verse 13. And the publican, standing afar, look at the honesty of the publican. He wouldn't even so much as lift his eyes into heaven. He smote his breast, saying, God be merciful to me. I am a sinner. How do we get righteous? Well, we have to acknowledge the error in our ways. Why did I take you to Galatians chapter 6? It's because the brother that is restoring another brother, sisters, you know, you're included, all inclusive. In the process of being restored, you have to acknowledge the error in the way. You have to acknowledge the transgression. Not the transgression of me, not my, the transgression of God's word. Where you might have gone wrong, where God told you not to go. When you went left, he told you to go right. When you went right, he told you to go left. When he told you to go forward, you stopped and turned around. But instead, we acknowledge the errors and acknowledge, I am a sinner. I am unworthy. I need you, Father. Not Pharaoh. Who is this God? I don't need him. I'm not listening to him. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm still going to make it to heaven. Because remember, Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So if that's what Jesus said, then we need to hear him. So Jesus is giving the self-righteous leaders here, or men that are listening, he's giving them an example and says, look, there's a publican and a Pharisee. This one prayed this way and this one prayed that way. Which one do you think had a better chance, if you will, of being saved? All right? And just a couple more. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We just got one verse to look at here. A couple more things to cover, and then the lesson will be yours. 1 Timothy chapter 1. You know that this is an encouragement of Paul to Timothy concerning the work that he's doing and that's to be going on. And Paul had urged him and reminded him in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. Paul says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Remember, Jesus just said it before. I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sinners. Paul reminds him of this. Okay? He says this is an acceptation that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul is acknowledging. We know all the work that Paul did. We know all the struggles of Saul. And we know the changing of Saul to Paul. The conversion is the proper term of Saul to Paul. And him coming into contact with Christ. And Paul went to suffer many things for the name of Christ Jesus. And so Paul encouraging Timothy lets him know, I'm a sinner. I am acknowledging and being honest with the error of my way. Because my way is not going to get me to heaven. God's way is what's going to get me to heaven. Alright? So, this is what we need to know. It is not of our own thinking that makes us righteous. Proverbs chapter 14, 12. We hear it quoted often. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. Right? But the ends thereof are the ways of death. We hear that quoted all the time. We might have even quoted it ourselves. But we want to make sure we understand that. And that we don't find ourselves leaning on our own understanding and saying, my way is the way. God's way is the only way to go to heaven, to make it to be in eternity in his presence. But in Psalms chapter 1, verse number 6, it says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we have to understand that it is his word, his will, and the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us righteous. Flip your Bibles real quick over to Psalms chapter 34, and we'll close here. Psalms chapter 34. O ye self-righteous. Old Testament. Psalms chapter 34. Here's my encouragement to you. Verse number 15. The Lord's eyes are looking at you. It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Be righteous. Be self-righteous. But let that righteousness be based upon the foundation of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. All right? When we don't acknowledge our sinful ways or seek repentance, righteousness cannot be in us. I gave you the example earlier, but I explained to you with Gideon's situation, that when Gideon was to go before the people in Judges chapter 6, you see where God is coming to Gideon, and that things have befallen the people of Israel, that the Amalekites and the Amorites, they were all taking upon the land of the seeds that the people of Israel were planting, and they were under the oppression, and they were crying out unto the Lord, why is this happening to us? But what they did not do is acknowledge the wickedness that was done that led them to that situation. So when you look at Judges chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says that the people did evil in the eyesight of the Lord. And we often find ourselves possibly doing evil in the sight of the Lord, forgetting to acknowledge it, and then wondering why we may be in the precarious situations we may find ourselves in. Be righteous. And righteousness requires repentance. I think we just saw multiple examples of that. The Bible teaches us to hear him, to hear his word. The Bible teaches us to believe what we hear, because his word is true. His word is sound. The Bible teaches us his word is tried and true. It is a buckler to those that cling to it. Hear his word, believe it. The Bible teaches us to repent. I just showed you multiple examples of that. It is required to repent. We want to change our hearts and change our actions and make sure our actions are aligned with his word. We looked at many examples. What makes us the exception to the rules? How do we say, God, I don't need your salvation. I don't need to repent. I'm good. Because even those that thought that they had it, I thought that saw themselves righteous, were shown that they weren't so righteous as righteous as they thought they were. It's only God's word that is going to make them righteous or make us righteous even. So that comes with us repenting. The Bible teaches us to confess his name. I've always said this to you guys, and I'll never hesitate to continue to say it. Don't ever be afraid to let somebody know that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That may change their life, it may not, but allow it to change yours if you truly believe. Don't be afraid to tell someone that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Alright? The Bible also commands us to be baptized. Mark 16, 15, 16, and multiple other scriptures. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be damned. That's not me. That's Mark 16, 15, 16. That's Jesus. There's Jesus talking to his people, telling them. You guys are familiar with it. In Acts chapter 2, many were baptized, but in order for that to happen, they heard Peter preach. They responded to Peter preach after what they heard and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible also requests and petitions us and encourages us by way of the Holy Spirit to live faithful unto death, and he will give us a crown of righteousness. With that said, I'm going to turn it over, and as we stand, we will sing the Savior's invitation song.
When we walk.